I want to read to you some scriptures from the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all this region round about Galilee. And God will bless the reading of his thrice holy word. The confession of the man possessed of an unclean spirit. A man whose life was harnessed and was dominated by the devil himself. And we read that he makes this confession: "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." I know thee whom thou art, the Holy One of God. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. My friends, we have a tremendous truth revealed in this verse. Here we have the recognition of Christ by the demon of hell. Here we have a human so occupied by a devil that the devil cries out and says to Christ, I want you to leave me, ye Holy One of God. I want you to leave me, thou Holy One of God. I know thee, whom thou art. There's something we need to learn here, that there's no atheists in hell. Everybody in hell believes in Christ and knows there is a Christ, the Christ of God. There's no atheists among the regiments of the devil in the darkness of hell. Every one of them knows that Christ is the Son of God. And this man, he cries out, and here's his personal testimony. I know thee, whom thou art, thou Holy One of God. The Bible puts the truth plainly. The devil confesses and he identifies Christ as Christ the Lord, the Son of God. There are no atheists in hell. There are no deniers of God and Christ and of the Holy Ghost in the pit of destruction. God is acknowledged by the vilest sinners. I know thee, whom thou art, thou Holy One of God. There are some things here we need to mark, and mark most carefully. First of all, we need to mark the identification of Christ. Christ is identified by this devil that occupied this man's mind and heart and soul and all. And he identifies Christ with these words. How powerful they are. And he says, I know thee. You're not a stranger to me. I know thee. And then he goes on to say, I know thee. Thou art come to destroy us. He knows that the purpose of Christ is for his destruction because of his loyalty to Satan and to hell. I know thee as thou art the Holy One of God. I know thee, whom thou art, the Holy One of God. And I know that thou art come to destroy us. Our day is over, and it's going to be darkness and hell's judgment for us forever. Did Jesus encourage a man to say no? No, he silenced him. He said, hold thy peace. And he rebuked the devil. And the devil was silenced. And the devil was cast out. Before that, the man was possessed by the devil. After that, the devil was gone. What a powerful demonstration of Christ and his power to set man free. That man cried because he was conquered by hell. But before Jesus left, he had been conquered by Christ. He is a man who suffered and was brought into bondage. But the prison cell was broken, and he was no longer worried by Satan's emissary. Why? Because Satan's emissary had been identified and cast out by Christ, the Son of God. So first of all, we have the devil recognized. Secondly, we have the devil identified. And Jesus Christ speaks strongly to him. And he says to him, hold thy peace. Come out of him. And the devil made the last stroke at the man's heart. He tore him. And the man cried with agony. But the man came out of him. What a wonderful victory. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. He cries because he was jailed, but the jail was smashed. He detested Christ, but Christ set him free from the indwelling demon that possessed him. The demon must go back to hell. His bondage over the man is broken, and the man is set free. So this devil-torn victim leaves the place where Christ made the casting out. And he goes home sober and in his right mind. What a wonderful demonstration of divine victory. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets a prisoner free. His blood can make 10,000 clean. His blood avails for me. But now we come to the demonstration and exercise of God's dynamic of all power. Christ is the Almighty. He is the Prince and ruler of all, whether it be in heaven or in hell that are upon this earth. We should not wonder that all the devils are subjected to him. Why? He is the King of Kings. Why? He is the Lord of Lords. All must acknowledge his eternal kingship. To him every knee, mark it, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess him. What a sermon we have from the lips of the Savior. And notice that this sermon is characterized with a declaration. And what is that declaration? It's a declaration commanding the devil to be silent. He didn't try, after he was rebuked, to speak any longer. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And standing there with that man, devil possessed and demon possessed, they went out of power from the voice of the word of the Son of God. And the man felt something happening. Did the devil give up lightly? No, he did not. There was a fight in that man's soul, and the unclean spirit tore him. What a fight in the heart of that demon-possessed man. But Christ won the battle, and he tore him. And then he cried with a loud voice. And then he obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had told him to come out. And he cried out. And then he came out. And he never got back in again. Oh, the wonder of it all. This was Christ standing all gloriously, all powerfully, and all majestically, and all savingly, the Christ of God. But as we look further at this great sight, we see that day that Christ leaves that particular part of the shore. The devil is no longer there. He's gone. The man's evil spirit has fled, and Christ has won the battle. The supernatural power of Christ prevail. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the sinner holy. Thank God his blood avails for me. Oh sinner, call upon him and he will save you. Hallelujah. He will see you now. That man led to the shore that day, governed by the devil that day, never could imagine that that was the day when the devil would be cast out and he would be set free. And what a freedom that man had as he walked from the shore. The maker of divine revelation one who is God manifest in the flesh, the one who comes to seek and to save that which was lost. He was found. The man didn't find Christ. Christ found the man. Christ wants to find you, my dear unsaved friend, in the same way of grace today. But as we look here, we see the demonstration of gospel power. We must ever keep before us Christ's revealed truth. The message to be declared by the sermon must be a matter of supernatural revelation. The preacher of the sermon has first of all to examine the sacred matters and then to apply the word of God to the situation, to uncover the fact of the work of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God, and also the reality of the incarnate Son of God. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. Hallelujah. His blood avails for me. What do we discover? We discover that this man, burdened, chained, fettered, destroyed by the devil, is set free by the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, thank God, that day that man was on the shoreline. Thank God he was down where the waves were beating. And in the midst of it all, when he got up that morning, he never thought that he would go to bed without that destroying and damning devil in his soul. But he walked away, cleansed and clean by the powerful word of God. Christ, the same Christ, speaks to you now. He calls you by your name. He will break the bands. He will destroy all the imprisonment. He will change you from being a son of the devil to be a child of God. His blood can make 10,000s clean. His blood avails for me. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you. Brethren and sisters, we stand on holy ground. How dare we turn it into sinful ground? This is a matter of divine relationship. Without God, we cannot know what his revelation is. We can only know what he says if he reveals it to our hearts. And explains it to our minds. The divine revelation can only be understood by the only wise God, applying it to our hearts. We need to seek for the key of divine revelation. Only the enlightened can understand. God alone can give us the lighting of our eyes, shedding a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. Oh, may God help you to pray the prayer. Lord, help me to understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Christ wants to shed over you in your valley of tears the sunlight of divine redemption. Oh, to locate the shadow of that sunshine today. Oh, that some soul might cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Remember what God says in his word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. An old preacher described that the rainbow was the open publication of the sacred and saving truth of God. We must, from the valley, turn and listen to the message, to the exposition and explanation that God is love. And he loves you with an everlasting love, ordered in all things and sure. Those who oppose gospel preaching speak and sign their own damnation. But those that turn and cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, shall have immediately everlasting life. Notice this matter for examination. How many are the sinners? We have preaching and God sends conviction and inspires meditation. The God-given messengers and their words are almighty through God to the winning of lost souls. No differentiation can block the way to the Christ who loves you and gave himself for you on the cross. Listen to his holy and divine word. Yes, is not Christ the one who stretches out his hands and says in loving, tender speech, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The holy gospel of Christ has a gift for you now. Take it, receive it, believe it, rejoice in it, and enjoy it. Enjoy it. It throbs with everlasting. Christ is the only Savior of sinners. He is the one who came to seek and to save those that are lost. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Seek the Lord. Find him if be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Every sermon must have a distinct subject, but it must have a distinct aim. The true gospel preacher has not come to call the righteous, but he's come to call the sinners to repentance. The preaching must always be for the sinner. The preacher must always be the soul winner. The aim must be aimed well, and the argument must be revealed with gospel truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. We come not to lose our ammunition, but to use it effectually to the salvation of your soul. May God pierce your heart with these sharp arrows. May God arouse you from the sleep of death in which you're in. May God help you to run to Jesus and cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Cry out, there is none like it. O Lord, give it me. And the Lord will give you eternal life for those that call on the name of the Lord. The Lord alone can give us the baptism of power. The Lord alone can take away your weakness and give you strength. When we stand up to preach, we need Christ to be preached simply and surely, and give the preacher a baptism of soul to preach, and write the message on the heart of every sinner, so that they may come and have everlasting life. Sinner, heed the warning. Sinners, make the Lord your choice. Sinners, all heaven will rejoice. Remember this, be in time, be in time. A step forward on hell's road could be your damnation. But a step backward on the same road could be your salvation. In God's name, now is the day of salvation. Come, let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight, be in time. Of course, our tent is all important, but so is also our content. The solemnity of both must be joined to make the more solemnity. The Savior's rule or Satan's rule, what will it be? Oh, sinner, flee from the wrath to come. We want always to keep that before those that hear us. Be ye reconciled to God. God will save you if you call upon him. His blood can make you clean, wash in the blood of the Lamb. An eminent preacher was careful to state that the congregation to be addressed should be studied so that the right approach and the practical application might fit the need of all the circumstances. We must never leave the main line in our preaching and refuse to live in the side of the times. The principal doctrine and lesson must always be first. We must ever preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and He your Savior and Redeemer. The leading explanation must be Christ, and all explanation, enforcement, and application must be the crowning, the coronation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are in the light field of God. When we are in the gospel pulpit, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your slaves for Jesus Christ. The gospel we preach is infallible. Christ, who has taught us that if our hearers hear not Moses and the prophets, they will not hear us. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but if we believe, we shall receive the gospel of everlasting life. It was Aristotle who insisted reality for three qualifications. Sincerity is needed by the sinner. Moral excellence, and he needs to reject the evil and accept the good. And Christian integrity, true eloquence in preaching Christ is the business of the preacher to the application of the souls of sinners. Christ's love, Christ's feeling, Christ's sacrifice, Christ on the cross, Christ bleeding to death, Christ ready to give life everlasting. We must always keep anchored to the same old goal ends, the ends of gospel, grace, and forgiveness. We must be glued to the great sea of His love. The end of the gospel declaration is the salvation of the ungodly. We reach and preach for souls, and we must never shift from that glorious objective. We now must end, and I must leave you with this solid word, and the word is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy heart. Our doctrine is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ must be the center, and there is no other thing for me as a gospel preacher but the blessed Son of God. All our hearers need Christ, therefore we must preach Him. Preach Him! Preach Him! Our subject is one which the Bible says is salvation. May God help us to preach the word. May God help us to present Christ as he should be presented. May God send us to say to every sinner now, this is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come, for all things are now ready. Amen and amen.